The biggest thing that I'm thankful for in my entire life is the salvation that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to be thinking about your salvation as well. Second thing I'm most thankful for in my life is the good wife that the Lord has given me. She's been a blessing throughout all of her days. But the title is, Are You a Real Christian? Are you a real Christian? You know, there's a wide diversity of opinions in the United States of America as to what a Christian is. What constitutes a Christian? You notice that there aren't study notes in your bulletin like there normally are. There's 75 copies of this message that was way too long to be able to put in the bulletin. If you're interested, you can pick that up on the table on the way out. But what constitutes a Christian? What is a Christian and how does one become a Christian? So we're going to address that this morning. I'd like you to answer in your head two questions. I've posed these before, but not in a while. I want you to think about them. I want you to answer the questions in your head. Question number one. What do you think God's qualifications for getting into heaven are? What do you think God's qualifications are for getting into heaven? Now, I'm serious. I want you to answer that in your head. What are God's qualifications for getting into heaven? Get an answer in your head. I'm not going to tell you what they are right now, according to the scriptures, but I am going to tell you at the end of the message. But I want you to firmly get those that answer in your head. What do you think God's qualifications are for getting into heaven? And then I'm going to ask a second question I want you to think about an answer for, and that is, if you were to get up to heaven's gates and someone asks you this question, why should I let you into heaven? Why should I let you into heaven? What in the world would you say? What would you say? Oh, they say, well, hello, Mr. Brown. Why should I let you into heaven? I want you to answer that question in your head. Now, are you a real Christian? I mentioned the diverging opinions on that, and so we're gonna look at four of them this morning. Number one, there's a group of people who think that a church makes them a Christian. I'm just gonna call them the church-made Christians. There are a whole lot of people who fall into that category. They think that they're a member of such and such a church. Our speaker this morning mentioned that the Amish think that they're the way to heaven. They think that you have to be a part of that Amish religion to be able to get into heaven. They're not the only ones. There's a whole bunch of churches who think that, you're a church-made Christian. You know, being a member of a specific church is what gets you into heaven. But there's the second one. There's the man-made Christian, the man-made Christian. We're going to talk about the man-made Christian this morning. Then there is the self-made Christian, And finally, the only real one of the bunch. You're not a real Christian if you're a church-made Christian. You're not a real Christian if you're a man-made Christian. You're not a real Christian if you're a self-made Christian. There's only one real Christian, and that is the God-made Christian. That's the only one. So let's look at the church-made Christian. You know, a church-made Christian has based his or her view of salvation on what the church teaches. Even when the church contradicts the Bible, they somehow think that their church trumps what's in the Bible. They somehow think that their tradition trumps what the Bible has to say. And I'm just going to use one of the most common examples because it's the broadest, and about a third of our people who attend First Baptist Church in Oak Creek came from this religion. That's the Roman Catholic religion. And so I'm going to use the example of the Roman Catholic religion. The Roman Catholic Church believes, and I quote right from their doctrine, the Roman Catholic Church believes and teaches that, quote, there is no salvation outside of the church. Now, when they talk about the church, they're talking about the Roman Catholic Church. They teach apostolic succession, that the Pope holds the keys to heaven, and that it's only through the Roman Catholic Church that a person can have any hope of going to heaven, have any hope of salvation. And even then, you don't know for sure. Now, there's a third of the people in this auditorium who came out of that particular religion. I remember going a few years ago to the funeral of a church-made Christian. And the funeral service was filled with such contradictions. In the beginning, the priest said that infant baptism had made the person ready for heaven. And that's why so many people get sprinkled today, that somehow they think that sprinkling water on the head of a baby reverses original sin. I got news for you. It doesn't help. You could dump a whole jug of water on their head. You could wash them in a bath. You could sprinkle them. You could pour them. You could dunk them. And that isn't what gets their original sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forgive them, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." God forbid, but if a little child dies before the age of accountability, they're in heaven. They don't need water on their head. That isn't going to help a single bit. Mid-sermon, though, the tune changed a little bit. The tune changed to the fact that no one could really be sure, that they were going to go to the Lord to heaven. But then the message changed again, and it urged the mourners to light candles and buy masses so that the person someday might reside in heaven after the purifying fires of purgatory. You know, I can tell you that the many mourners who were there in the servant, they seemed ambivalent about the whole thing. But you know, the truth is that there are millions and millions and millions of church-made Christians. It doesn't matter. I could list a whole bunch of them. You have the Mormons. The Mormons think that they're the only way to heaven. I remember a fireman stopping down to my house when I lived three houses down a number of years ago. He was so concerned about my soul because he was a member of the United Pentecostal religion, and he kept pressing me. He says, "Preacher, have you ever spoken in tongues?" I said, "No, I've never spoken in tongues. I have hard enough time with English." And then he said, "Well, you're not going to be in heaven. You're not going to be. You've got to do that. You've got to follow this. What our church teaches." There's so many people who think that their church holds the corner on the market. So it's not only just the Church of Rome. There are many, many, many people who mistakenly believe that they're going to heaven because they believe what their church believes. They believe they're Christians because they belong to this church, and that's what they have been taught. But there is a problem. There is a problem. And it's very, very clear. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "He answered and said unto them, Why do ye transgress the commandments of God by your traditions?" Traditions are not on the level of the Scripture. Jesus did not say, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me," and joining a particular church. It's not the way that it is. It's not the way that it is. If what a church teaches is contrary to what the Bible teaches, let me tell you who is right. The Bible is right. God is right. Tradition is wrong if it conflicts with the Bible, because the Bible is very clearly authoritative. I don't care how sincere they are. There's so many people who think that because they're sincere in their religion, and I had a lady tell me that, she's so sincere. She says, "I go to church more than you do, preacher." Well, she did. She went to Mass every day. And yet, sincerity is not the issue. The issue is an issue of truth, my friends. What does the truth say? First John chapter 5. Turn with me. First John chapter 5. It's not the Gospel of John. It's the little book towards the end of your Bible there. First John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. First John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. The Bible's authoritative. And here's what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, on to verse 13. It says, "And this is the record." God says it's been recorded. He inspired the old apostle John when he wrote this. "This is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life." And now watch this. "And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." And it says, "that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now let me tell you something. The belief that's being talked about here is not merely an intellectual assent. There's a lot of people who know a lot about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. You see, knowing about Jesus that's not biblical belief. Biblical belief is based upon the knowledge that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He is buried according to the Scripture, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. And now he is seated at the right hand of God, God's throne on high, ever living to make intercession for believers up there. You see, there has to be a knowledge of the truth, but there also has to be an acknowledgement. Acknowledgement means you agree with what has been said about Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins. You have to agree with that. But even that isn't salvation. There's a lot of people who say, yes, Jesus Christ died on Good Friday. He died for people's sins. There has to be more than knowledge. There has to be more than acknowledgement. There has to be acceptance or personalizing that. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In faith, you take that realizing it's not a way of salvation. It is the way of salvation. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. You know, the New Testament is filled full of examples of what I would call church-made Christians. A good biblical illustration of this is the Apostle Paul. And I know technically he wasn't a church. He's a member of the Jewish religion, but you could say religious-made Christians. But before Paul came to be a real Christian, he was a religious-made a person. He thought he was getting to heaven by practicing the Jewish religion. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 6 says this. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 3, 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. It says, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherefore that he might trust in the flesh, I more. And now he talks about his religious things that he did. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. And look at this. As touching the law, a Pharisee, the most fundamental group there. It says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. You know, the Jews, the Pharisees said, man, we're ready for heaven. We're ready to go. Lock and load, because you're ready to go. You know, Paul was born in the right family. He did the right religious rituals. The right religious rituals when he was a child were performed for him. He was zealous in the faith. But none of these things made him a Christian. He was lost until his confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, on that road where Christ confronted him and said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, he had a life-changing experience when he put his entire faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and he jettisoned his religion. If you are sitting here today and you're thinking that your religion is going to get you to heaven, if you're faithful to their rituals, if you're faithful to their services, if you're faithful to their dogmas, if you're sitting here today and thinking that your religion is getting you to heaven, you are sadly mistaken. You might be sincere, but you are sincerely wrong according to the Bible. And this is the only thing that counts. This is the only thing that counts. Jesus Christ said to these religious men in this religion, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Look at this. He says, ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, one convert, one proselyte. And when he is made, look at this. He said this, ye make him twofold more a child of hell than yourselves. Church-made Christians are trusting in what they've been told by the church. And I tell you, please dump that. You're trusting in any church. I don't care what any church is. It is not any religion that is going to get you to heaven. It is by grace through faith in Christ alone. In Christ alone. Number two, a man-made Christian. A man-made Christian. What's a man-made Christian? Well, a man-made Christian is based upon what another person has said to that person. A good illustration is what happened to me as a youth pastor. Years and years ago, when I started out the ministry, I was an assistant pastor. And I was in charge of the youth. And a young lady came into my office, and she sat down. I could tell something was wrong. She had trouble, a troubled countenance, and she sat down in there, and it wasn't long before she burst out into tears. And I said, Cindy, try and calm down. Tell me what's wrong. And she says, I want to be saved. But my mom says, I accepted Jesus Christ. I'm a little girl, and I can't remember it at all, Pastor. I think I'm going to hell. She'd been told that she accepted Christ when she was a little girl, and the neighbor lady had led her to the Lord, and her mother said, that's the end of it. Well, I'm glad she got the intestinal fortitude to come in and talk to me. You know, come to find out, I started talking with Cindy, and she says, Pastor, I want to be saved. So you know what I did? Said, well, the neighbor lady led you to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, I didn't say that at all. I explained very clearly the gospel to her because I believe this. While you may not remember the date when you called upon the name of the Lord to get saved, you ought to remember some of the circumstances, like where you're at or what you're doing. It ought to be in your head, or where you maybe didn't even in pray quote the sinner's prayer, but you had that, if you want to call it, an epiphany where you did business with God and you say, I believe. And she did not have that. And so my question to you is, what about you? Are you a man-made Christian? Did your parents tell you that you were saved sometime, or a friend of you tell you, well, I remember in Sunday school, or maybe even your Sunday school teacher, well, I remember when I led you to the Lord. If you don't remember any of that, don't mess around with damnation, friends, because if you're wrong and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I can tell you something. They can line up, and you can have a whole 100 people line up and tell you, I remember, but if you don't remember, where are you? I'll tell you what I did was shared the gospel with this young lady, and she called upon the name of the Lord and was saved, and she said it was like a ton of bricks came off of her shoulders. Amen? Amen. She a man-made Christian. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with man-made Christians. They are not Christians at all, according to the Bible. Being a Christian is not based upon what some person has said, what some preacher has said, what some friend has said, what some priest has said, or anybody else. You become a believer, a Christian, by doing what the Bible says and receiving and believing in Jesus Christ. John 1:12. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Have you ever received the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever believed on Him in a biblical way? You know what? I just want to tell you Acts 5:29. You say, but my mom told me, my dad told me. You know what? You ought to obey God rather than men. And you know whose opinion counts when you stand before God? It's His opinion that counts, because it's not an opinion, it's a judgment. There's a difference between an opinion and a judgment. So I would rather that you be sure that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you are not sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior this morning, I do not care what anybody else says to you. Is it worth gambling your destiny on what somebody else said when you have no knowledge of it? And my answer is no. It's not. It just is not. Well, what would people think? Wait a minute. What would God think? What would God think? That's who counts. The blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When you stand before Jesus, because God has committed all judgment to His Son, when you stand before Jesus, it's going to be His determination that counts. And you know what? Hell is going to be full of people who said, Lord, Lord. And they didn't know Jesus. I'm not impressed with the church-made Christian. I'm not impressed with the man-made Christian. I was a man-made Christian for a while when I was young because they told me, well, you're a fine Christian boy. Well, you're just a fine Christian. You're a fine Christian boy. You know what? I knew my heart was deceitful and desperately wicked. I knew that I was a sinner. And I'm glad I finally decided, you know, that's not the truth. Let's get down to the truth. But then there's a self-made Christian. I got to speed along here. Self-made Christian. What's a self-made Christian? Well, self-made Christian thinks that he's going to be accepted by God because of all the good things that he's done. You know, man, I'm a good person. Now, it's good to be a good person, but I tell you what, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and you can be as good as you want to be, but being goody-two-shoes, being a good person, doing the best you can, it is not like in heaven that there's a big scale. It was kind of referred to by our brother speaking this morning, where God puts all of our good works on one side and then our sins on the other side. And if our good works outweigh our the bad things that we do, He says, oh, bing, okay, you get to go to heaven. No, that's not that way at all. Ephesians 2:8-9, you know that. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. I like the one that our brother shared, Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, is another good one. I've taken some notes while he was speaking. Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, I believe it is this, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It says works don't count. So many people are self-made Christians, and that's what we have in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. We don't have time to go through all that that account there, but you have the Pharisee, and he goes in there. He is so puffed up. He's telling God how great he is, and he is dislauding himself. He's reaching over so far to pat himself on the back. He couldn't be prouder of himself if he had tried. And then you have this sinner over here, and you know what he's doing? He wouldn't even lift up his eyes. He recognized that he was a sinner, and it says that he pounded on his chest. He beat his breast, and he says, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know who got God's mercy? The one who recognized he was a sinner and called upon the name of the Lord. If you waltz into God's presence and say, God, you're so lucky to have me. I just do my very best, boy. What would you do without me, Lord? There's a problem. There's a big problem. Because I want to tell you something. You know what? Self-made Christians are often so moral in their own eyes, and they do all these good things. But I just want to tell you that that isn't what saves them. Not by works of righteousness, which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved you by the washing of regeneration. You know what that is? That's being born again. Being born again. So there's going to be a lot of people shocked as they stand before our Lord Jesus Christ's judgment. We read about this in Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be a lot of people, Lord, we did all this stuff for you. We did it in your name. You just say, what did you do with me? What did you do with me? You're depending on your good works. And Jesus said, all of your righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you are a self-made Christian today, turn your back on that whole thing. All the good that you try and do isn't worth the fuzz on a peanut when you stand before God. It won't get you a drop of cold water in hell. My point is simply this. Neither the church, nor a man-made Christian, nor a self-made Christian is a real Christian at all. In fact, the destiny of a church-made Christian, a man-made Christian, and a self-made Christian is the same. It's hell. It's hell. Because, listen to me, you might not like it, but God makes the rules. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, it says, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I don't care what the church says. I don't care what your friend says. I don't care what you say. God makes the rules, and he says, you come to salvation and become a Christian through my Son, Jesus Christ, period. That's it. That's it. Oh, can't you fudge for me, Lord? No. No. Please do not try and substitute your own ideas and reject what God has said in his word. You see, the only kind of a Christian that's a real Christian is the God-made Christian. I already quoted it, 1 John 4:14. It says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I've already quoted it, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Pastor Darrell read it. For God so loved the world, that's the world of people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember I asked you two questions at the beginning? And I asked you to get the answers in your head? Let me give you the answers. Let me give you the right answers. If somebody asks you, what do you think are God's qualifications for getting into heaven? I want you to think about what your answer is. You don't have to say it out loud, but just think about what your answer is. Let me tell you what the answer is. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That is the answer. And how do I know? I got the answer book. This is the answer book. The second one. If you came up to heaven's gate and this question was posed, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? I pose that question to people and they say, well, I try to keep the Ten Commandments. I do the best I can. I'm nice to people. That's the wrong answer. You see, there's only one reason that you'd ever be led into heaven. And that's neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The only reason that you or I or anybody else is going to get into heaven is because Jesus Christ has saved them. I would just plead Jesus. I'd say, Jesus Christ, save my soul. I'm not worthy to come into heaven, but He is worthy. And that's the answer. So, how does one become a real Christian? Very quickly now. Number one, you need to admit that you're a sinner. It's not new to probably 80% of you who are here, maybe more. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no exceptions here. There's no exceptions in Oak Creek. There's no exceptions in Milwaukee County. There's no exceptions in Wisconsin. There's no exceptions in the 50 states. There's no exceptions in the world. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, realize that salvation from sin is a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, you can't earn it, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number three, believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Next point, believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And this is the third time in this message. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Finally, ask Christ to forgive your sins and to save your soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I draw it to a conclusion. There is only one kind of Christian, one real kind of Christian. Are you a real Christian? You're not a real Christian if you're a church-made Christian. You're not a real Christian if you're a man-made Christian. You're not a real Christian if you're a self-made Christian. You're only a real Christian if you're a God-made Christian, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus Christ. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to be sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.